All right, let's dive into corporate mergers. Back in 2017, remember all the talk about tax inversions?
Yeah, companies were jumping ship to lower tax countries.
Wild times. It even led to some big legal fights.
It did. And you know what? What often gets missed in all that is how those moves in the boardroom, they had real consequences for shareholders.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Sometimes, well, there were definitely some twists and turns. The InreMed Chronic case is a really good example.
Okay, so in Remedtronic, for those who might not know, could you give us a quick summary? What happened?
Sure. Medtronic, they're based in Minnesota, decided to merge with this Irish company, Covidien.
Okay.
Their goal, lower those taxes, of course.
Yeah.
Ireland has much better tax laws, you know.
Right. Companies are always trying to pay less in taxes.
Exactly. Standard move, right? But here's where it gets interesting. This merger, I mean, it was good for Medtronic's bottom line, no question, but it kind of set off this chain reaction, and well, they ended up in court.
Really? What happened?
Some shareholders, they actually ended up having to pay capital gains taxes because of the merger.
Oh, wow.
And get this, the company directors, they were getting reimbursements for excise taxes.
Wait a minute. So the shareholders are paying more taxes and the higher-ups are getting money back? That doesn't seem fair.
Right. One shareholder, Kenneth Steiner, he thought so too. He filed a class action lawsuit.
Good for him. What was his argument?
He said basically he and other shareholders got hurt because of this merger.
Okay, so did he win?
Well, not at first. The lower courts, they tossed out his claims.
Why?
They said it was a derivative claim.
I think a lot of people might not know what derivative means in this context. Could you explain that?
It's a key concept in corporate law. Basically, it means the harm was mainly done to the company, not the shareholder directly. So the courts, they were saying Steiner couldn't sue for himself. You know, he had to sue on behalf of Medtronic, the whole company. And in Minnesota, they have this rule, Rule 23.09. It throws up a bunch of extra hurdles for these derivative claims.
Ah, so it wasn't just about taxes and mergers then. It was also about what kind of claim Steiner actually had.
You got it. And eventually, it went all the way to the Minnesota Supreme Court. They made a big decision, really cleared up how to tell the difference between direct and derivative claims. It was a landmark case for corporate law.
Okay, so help us break down this legal stuff. How did the court figure out which claims were direct and which ones were derivative? Did they have a specific, like a test or something?
They use what they call the injury plus beneficiary analysis.
Okay.
Basically, two questions. First, who got hurt? Second, who would benefit if they fixed it? If the shareholder's pocket is the one taking the hit, probably a direct claim. But if it's the company's money that's hurt and any money they get back goes to the company, that's derivative.
So with Medtronic, they had to use this analysis on each of Steiner's claims, right?
Exactly.
Let's start with the capital gains tax. Was that seen as hurting the shareholders directly, or was it hurting the company?
The court said that the capital gains tax, that was a direct claim.
Huh. You'd think any tax issue from a merger would affect the whole company, right?
Right.
If the company has to pay more, everyone's affected.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The court made an interesting comparison. They said it's like when a partnership breaks up, each partner, they're going to handle their own taxes, right? And it all depends on when they sell their part of the partnership.
Okay.
So in the Medtronic merger, not everyone sold their shares at the same time, you know?
Right.
So their taxes were all different.
So the court focused on each shareholder, not just on Medtronic as a whole.
Exactly. They saw that each shareholder had their own tax situation.
That's interesting. So that's one for direct claim. What about the dilution claim? How do they see that?
This is where things get a little trickier. There's two types of dilution, you see. Economic dilution and then loss of voting power and control. Economic dilution, that's where your shares lose value, could be derivative maybe. But Steiner, he was arguing about losing voting power and control because of how the ownership changed after the merger.
Hold on. If Medtronic shareholders, if they still had 70%, how did they lose control? What does that actually mean?
Great question. So even though they had the majority, the merger changed the power dynamic, if you will. It diluted their influence. The court, they said this was a direct injury to the shareholders. There's this line in the opinion, loss of certain rightful incidence of ownership.
Wow. So two out of three so far are direct. What about that last one, the excise tax reimbursements for the directors?
That was a derivative claim. They saw it as like classic corporate waste, using company money to help a select few, basically. Any money they got back would go to Medtronic, not the shareholders.
So it's the same merger, but it created both direct and derivative claims.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it shows you how complex corporate law can be. Justice Gildea, he wrote the opinion, had a good explanation. He pointed out that the same action, like this merger, can create different types of claims depending on who gets hurt and how.
Right, right. It's not always black and white. Context matters a lot.
Absolutely. And this case, it shows how important it is to look deeper, you know?
Yeah.
Not just at the surface. You have to really understand each claim.
This has been really helpful. But now I'm thinking, what does this actually mean for lawyers and companies?
Yeah.
What are the real world effects?
This case is a big deal for lawyers. You know, strategy-wise. For plaintiff's attorneys, it's like a roadmap. Framing a case as direct. That's the fast track. No. You avoid all that Rule 23.09 stuff, makes things move faster.
So it's about focusing on how the shareholder, the individual, was hurt.
Exactly. It's not about the company as a whole. It's about the person. Now, for companies and their lawyers, wake-up call, right?
Yeah.
Even a merger, something everyone does, it can open them up to lawsuits.
So you got to think about the shareholders from the beginning.
Exactly. Be proactive. It's like building a fortress. You got to protect all sides, right? So when they write up those merger agreements, they got to go beyond just protecting the company. Got to think about the shareholders, you know?
Yeah.
See if the deal might trigger any direct claims.
This all makes sense, legally speaking, but it also, it raises some big questions. Like, should taxes ever be a company's problem? I mean, taxes are usually like a personal thing, right?
That's a really good question. And this case kind of blurs the lines. The court, when they said capital gains tax was a direct claim, it means taxes can directly affect shareholders separate from the company.
That's huge. It could change how we think about companies and shareholders, especially now with all these crazy financial deals happening.
Totally. In this case, it gets even more interesting when you think about new stuff like cryptocurrency DAOs.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are decentralized, autonomous organizations, ownership is all over the place. How do you even figure out direct versus derivative claims with that?
It's like trying to put a square peg in a round hole.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the old laws don't even work with this new stuff. Do you think this case means Minnesota is changing how they see shareholder rights? Are they moving away from protecting the company and focusing more on protecting individual shareholders?
Maybe. The court, they were willing to say direct claims happen from things like losing voting power. That could be a sign they're trying to protect shareholders more.
And that could spread to other states, maybe even the whole country. Lawmakers and courts, they're going to have to figure this out with all these changes.
You're right. In Re Medtronic, it might seem like just one merger case. But it's made people talk about shareholder rights and companies being accountable. It makes us rethink some basic ideas.
This has been eye-opening, really. One case, and it shows us so much about corporate law and makes us think about the future of business.
It shows how the law is alive, you know? Always changing to keep up with new stuff.
I like that. Before we wrap up, I want our listeners to think about something. Think about contracts you see every day, even simple ones. Leases, those user agreements online, buying stuff, it's all contracts.
Good point. Those simple deals can have big consequences, good and bad. You got to know your rights and the risks.
Just like those Medtronic shareholders learned, a win for the company can backfire on the people who own it.
Knowing direct versus derivative is super important. It can protect you.
So yeah, whether you're like a big shot CEO doing a merger or just someone signing a lease for an apartment, you got to read the fine print. You know, think about what it means for everyone.
Yeah, that's really important. It's easy to get caught up in the excitement, especially when there's, you know, lots of money involved. But understanding the legal side of things, it can prevent problems later.
Definitely. And like we saw in Medtronic, what looks good for the company might not be so good for the people who actually own it, the shareholders.
Exactly. Be informed. Know what your rights are. Don't be afraid to ask questions. And if you're not sure, talk to a lawyer.
Good advice. Well, that wraps up our deep dive into direct and derivative shareholder claims. Hope everyone listening found it useful and interesting.
It's been great talking about this with you. Always enjoy these conversations.
Thanks for joining us. And until next time, stay curious and keep learning.